Today's daf in Masechet Sukkah, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Lamed Tet. We went about a little bit ahead yesterday, and the last thing that we learned was that when the Mishnah said that in a mokum where it's a minhag to make a bracha on the halal, you make a bracha, that wasn't referring to the first bracha. As Abaye said, everybody agrees that you need to make always a bracha before you do the mitzvah. It was referring to the bracha that comes after the halal, and that was dependent in minhag. We pointed out yesterday that that is not referring to the chatzi halal, it's referring to the halal sholem. Some have a minhag that they say a bracha even on what we call chatzi halal, which means a halal that you're not mechuyev to say at all, and that is only being said as a minhag. So the language that was used is the language that's always used in the context of making a bracha before. And instead of saying make the bracha before, it says make the bracha over la'asiyatam, which is a strange way of phrasing it. It must have some type of very specific meaning that we use that here instead of kedima. So we want to know, first of all, my mash, madai over lishta da'agdumiyu, as we've seen this Gemara many, many times. Omer v'nachum mar yitzchak, tichtiva yora tzachimatz, derech hakikar v'yavor atakushi. We see that the Lashon of Vayavor, over there the story was, if you recall, they didn't want to tell David HaMelech that his son was killed in the rebellion. And so they sent the Kushi. Achimatz felt that it was a Besura Teva. Yoav kept saying, believe me, he ain't going to be happy. So Achimatz ran so quickly that he also, and he had a shortcut, Derech HaKikar, he was able to overtake the Kushi and get to David before the Kushi. So the Lashon that it says over there is Vayavar means that he came around him and got there first. Abaya Amar Mihacha. Abaya says, I have another basis. It says, Vuhu Avar Lefnehem, that Yaakov Avinu, he went in front before the wives and the children, and he was the one that immediately met Esav. And Reb Nachum Bar Yitzchak says, I'm sorry, and Abaya adds another positive day, Mamiacha, Vayavor Makam Lifnehem Vashem Barosha. So over there, it's talking about that Kadosh Baruch Hu will be in front of Mashiach and in front of Am Yisrael at the time that everyone comes back from the Golas. So the question is, what exactly are the implications? First of all, is there a difference? I mean, whether we learn it out, why Abaye didn't like learning it out from the Nachum Bar Yitzchak, Vayoro Tachimatz, and so on. There's all types of approaches about this, and they're Nogei Lahalocha, actually, because, I mean, the way that the Netziv understands it is that there's actually a Machlokas Lahalocha between the two approaches, and that if you say the approach is that it's Vayavar Etakushi, so we're bringing it as part of the Lashon of Avar, is that you are seeing him, it's like watching a race, right? It's Vayavar Sakushi, he's getting ahead of the Kushi. But initially, he was behind the Kushi. And then he continued and he caught up and he took over. So therefore, Over La'asiyatan would mean, according to Reb Nachum Bar Yitzchak, that you can start the bracha before the mitzvah, and you can continue making the bracha as you're doing the mitzvah. You don't finish the bracha completely before the mitzvah. Mashenkein, according to Abaye, who learns that the avar means you start being before, so then it would mean you'd have to finish the entire thing before. Now, this is actually a big machlokas, whether this is really true, what the Netziv says. And the question is, let's say you're about to do a bris milah. So do you complete the entire bracha, or do you do as many ma'olim do? They make the bracha, and as they're making the bracha, they start the milah. They don't finish the entire bracha before. This would be the question of the nafkamina between them, according to the way the Netziv was learning it. Lamaisa, there's a bit of a problem, because it does say that the dafka and the Gemara Menachos we had, that you're not allowed to be mevorech while you're doing the mitzvah. The only thing that we allow such a thing is And this is how the Netziv explains the way that we do the bracha netilat yadayim, while it is that we're doing the nigah of yadayim, which all of which is part of the mitzvah. But that, of course, is a very special case because you can't say the bracha if you're going to be netil yadayim in order to be have nikiyas yadayim. So you first have the nikiyas yadayim, then you do the bracha. Okay, but it's interesting that there's definitely got to be a specific reason why it says avar. Other learn that the pshat in avar is if you say kodem, you might think that kodem means a little bit before, and it doesn't have to be like the moment before. Kamashman, that just like this was like a race, and you get there just in time to forestall the other, the kushis being able to tell Dov, and the same thing is true over here. You're about to do the mitzvah, and just before the mitzvah, you thought, oh, the mitzvah is about to be done. All of a sudden comes in the bracha of avar efteyem immediately before the bracha. So that would be the most uncontroversial approach. But the inyan of a bracha has to be immediately prior to the ma'aseh mitzvah. By the way, just as an aside, it's an interesting thing that we say the bracha midiraisa on mozain is afterwards, right? Birchas hamozain. When it comes to brachas that have to do with the gedorim of mitzvahs, let's say like Abi Tavater and so on. So we make our Kal V'chom in the Gemara, we make the bracha before, even though the marker is really Birkat HaMazon. So say, if what you're dealing with is your animal self, you can't expect your animal self, which is hungry, to recognize the chashivas of the food in terms of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But after you see the difference, say, even the animal feels happy. Oh, I feel full, I feel gishmak, so you can make a bracha. When it comes to the nefesh, where the nefesh feels the ishtokakut, you feel the desire for the mitzvah and the desire for the Torah. So over there, you say the bracha before, because there you're able to utilize the keach nefesh for the bracha. Anyway, so now we move on, and we have a special word from our very special kapitan, who is going to introduce the next Mishnah. What's the matter? Didn't get enough rest on Shabbos. What's the matter? The
kids, Lenny, once in a while. Once in a while, the essential, what do you call it? The essential sadness comes out.
I hear you. Is it essential or is it existential? That's the
existential,
question.
Existential, yeah. Anyway.
I hear you, Rich. All right. Very good. So we have this morning a new piece of the action, which of course is perfectly attuned not only to the time of the year, but to the other limud, which is our limud in Masechet Shvi'it. So now the question is, what do you do during Shemitah if you have to buy an etrog? You're not allowed to engage in business when it comes to Shemitah products. So how exactly do you buy your etrog? So there's a number of issues that we need to take into consideration. One of the most fundamental questions is the machlokas about whether if something were not mufkar on Shvius, somebody actually, it's called Mishumar. Someone was shomer his perot during Shemitah, and he wasn't mafkir then. So then the question is, does that mean that what it is that you were shomer actually becomes usur to use, or is it just that you were over? So this is a big machlorka. Suppose you would know that the esrog itself had actually been from a sada that was mishumar. Would it be kosher, or would you be able to utilize that etrog in any way? Now, that's itself a big machlok, because the Rabbeinu Tam learns that it's actually usur, and that this is one of the things that the Gemara is taking for granted over here. That's one question. We'll talk about Rashi argues on that. Rashi holds that it's mutter. But there's a number of Rishonim, the Rabbeinu Tam over here on the Daf is one of the most fundamental of those shitas, that the esrog itself becomes us. The other question that we have, or I should say the other two questions that we have, is that it is usher to do business with payers of shvias. Now, that's talking about even where you collected them from a field that's hefker. In other words, there's separate issues. The field itself is hefker. The payers are mutter. But if you are taking these payers in order to do business with them, then that itself creates an iser on the transaction because it's an usher transaction. I mean, not Torah. Torah says, perot ha'aretz la'ochla, they're there for you to eat, v'lo l'schora. Then there's yet a third issue. The third issue is like this. Suppose the person that is selling them to you is not in business. So you have this guy, he went and he found some esrogim in an empty field that was mufker and said anybody wants to could come in, everything was fine. And he collects some of these esrogim and now he's selling them as a just helping you out. He's not really doing business. So now the issue is like this. You're allowed to purchase it from him. This doesn't mean you're not allowed to buy an eser when it says Rololoschora. It means that you can't be in business with collecting things and then planning on keeping the money. Over here, somebody is selling an eser, but he does not know how to watch the dinim of Shemitah in detail. He's an Amaretz. And this Amaretz is Chashud, that he won't know what it is that needs to be done with the money of Shvius. Now, the problem with the money of Shvius is that the money itself has the same Kedusha Shvius that the Paris of Shvius had. Now, first of all, that means that they have to be gotten rid of because the Torah says, remember, that's called the Sha'at HaBi'ur. The Torah says that the Achlu Nat Evyonei Amecha, but also the Chaya and the Behema that are in the Sadeh. So therefore, we learn out from there that the moment that the animals do not have access to these things in the field, you have to get it out of your house. It's a machlokas whether getting it out of your house means that you need to be mafkir it. You just take it outside and you say, I'm mafkir all of these parents, whoever wants can take. And then you can take them yourself. You can say, you're not allowed to take them. Or whether biur means you have to actually destroy it, as the Rambam learns. Or whether, as the Ravid learns, there's two different dinim in biur. There's the din in biur, the local biur, and that is when in your area, these particular things are no longer available, you have to be mafkir them. And then there's the second stage of biur, when, as we'll see later on in our learning, the entire Ezor, because the Gemara, the Mishnah separates the different areas of Eretz Yisrael. Please mute yourself. The different areas of Eretz Yisrael into different dinim Barnea, please. And there, once it's gone from the entire area, so let's say it's out, not in the Galil at all, then the Ravid says, then the Rambam's din of destroying it kicks in. Okay, so we have these three dinim. But the money also has that halacha. And therefore, the question would be, if this guy doesn't know that, and that anything that is purchased with this money has the same din of biur too, because shvius keeps being tefes the next stage down, this amaretz is not going to be keeping that halacha. And therefore, you're going to be over on lifnei iver if you give him money, because you don't know exactly what is going to be with the money that he's doing. Okay, Tosfos, that's the way Rashi understands the problem of lifnei iver. Tosfos says there's many other problems over here. There's hundreds of dinim. He's not going to know what to do with this. You're not allowed to use this money, let's say, to buy a non-kosher animal. He doesn't know that. He has no idea. He doesn't know you're not allowed to use the money to buy avodim, that you're not allowed to use the money to buy karkaot. He doesn't know that you're not allowed to buy a talis with it. He'll think, oh, it's holy money. Let me go use it to buy a talis and thrill it. And so on and so forth. There's so many isurim that involve. Why does Rashi have to focus specifically on these issues? Does he know he's not allowed to pay up a debt with it? No. And so on and so forth. The way Tosfos puts it is, ein mispar ladinim. It's like, no, you can't even count the number of details that this Amaretz would have to know in order to be able to shamer all of the dinim of Shemitah on it. So how can you give him money that has that Kedusha? That's called lifnei iver. Okay, but those are the three issues, in any event, that we're going to have to worry about in this sugya. So let us start with a guy who walks in to somebody who is an Am Haaretz. Halokeach lulav michaveiro. Now, even though it uses the word chaveiro, Rashi suggests that the correct girsa ought to be me'am ha'aretz, because michaveiro misleads you to thinking we're talking to a chaver, and this is a friend of his who's also a chaver, then none of this would apply, because obviously we're not choshed that a chaver who's mukzik to be a Talmud Chacham and knows the dinim of Shemitah and is careful with all of those dinim, there'd be no problem. But over here, you're buying a lulav, and a lulav over here means the arba minim. Okay, so you're buying the arba minim. So then you got to get the seller to give you the esrog as a gift, because the esrog, the Gemara is going to ask, why only the esrog? Why not the lulav? We're going to talk about that later. But the esrog has to give you as a gift because the esrog has kedusha shvius on it, and you don't want to give him money for that esrog. So no teno etrog b'matanas. You can ask, why isn't it usur stam to have a transaction on kedusha shvius? Because of the fact that the Torah said, lo achla v'lo l'schora, because that is not called l'schora. If you picked some perishvias, and now you want to go out and exchange the perishvias for tomatoes, and you pick cucumbers, of course you're allowed to do that. You're mechuyev to keep this particular thing. When it says lo l'schora, it means not for business purposes to keep the money afterwards. That's the point. So over here, what's my problem? If I knew that this guy understood what to do with the money, I would have no problem. I could give him cash in exchange for something that he picked, as long as he didn't act like a bilim and try to do business with it. The problem over here is, as I explained, this is problem number three, which is the issue of the lifnei iver. We don't know for a fact that this Am Haaretz is not going to do it right. We don't have any reason to assume that this Am Haaretz took the esrog from a field that was Meshumar or anything like that. We just know that he's not a bucky in the dinim of Shvius, and that he's choshed that if we give him money, he's not going to be mavire the money on time and so on and so forth. So therefore, we tell him, look, I'll pay you for the other three species, which are not chayav in Shemitah. Why they're not chayav in Shemitah, the Gemara is going to discuss. But give me the esrog as a gift. Lefisha ein reshaila lo kho b'shviyat, you're not allowed to buy it for some reason during Shvius. So now we got to figure out why not. But the first issue that we have is, I mean, why is this guy crazy enough to give you the esrog as a gift? And say that it's a great Mishnah. You know, well, if the esrog's too expensive, just tell the guy to give it to you as a gift. Well, what if he doesn't want to give it to you as a gift? So lo ratza liten lo b'matana. So what do you do then? Amar Avuna, no, you can encourage him to give you the esrog as a gift as follows. You say to him, look, you know, what do you want for the arba minim? I want 200 shekel. Fine. So say, you know what? I'll buy the lulav and the hadasim and the arobas for 200 shekel. Give me the esrog as a gift. Okay, so then obviously the guy under those circumstances will give you the esrog as a gift. Okay, so that is called havla'ah. Havla'ah, you're allowed to do. So therefore, it should be mavliya le'd me'etrog b'lulav. What the Mishnah is taking for granted is that it's just there should be no exchange of money for the esrog. Ask the Gemara, what is wrong with giving him money? I don't understand. He's allowed. You're allowed to buy an esrog during Shemitah. So le'tev le'be'ed, yeah, give it to him. That's because ein mosrim d'mei perot shvi'it la'am ha'aretz. Why not? The Tanya. Rabbanan made a takana that we have to be careful to be sure that you don't give money to a person who's going to use it in ways that are probably us. So if this is the amount of money that the person needs for his ongoing parnasa, a person needs a certain amount of money a day to be able to eat for himself, for his family. Why should I be cheshish that if I give him that kind of money, that it's going to be going into some kind of bank account and he's going to go shopping for a new suit or whatever? I mean, a person needs money to survive. So therefore, the Rabbanan never asked giving him what he needs for that day's food. So what if that day is Shabbos? Maybe he's selling it now in order to provide for Shabbos. So three suudas. So give him enough money for three suudas. Once already could be for Shabbos, and then we're matir every day three sudas. So that was the amount that we were koveya. what would happen if you accidentally gave them more money than that, and then you realize, oy vey, this guy is actually chashud. So what you should do is, yomar, you should say, im hamaot halalu. I gave him wrongly, so then hare hamaot halalu yomukhulol la perot sheyesh li. The chover should say, okay, the kedusha shvius on those perot is hereby mechulal on the money that I have, because you could be mechalal shvius, remember. You can actually, it's not being paid at it, it's being mechalal it. Why is it not being paid at it? First of all, if the thing itself is kedusha shvius, so then it never takes off the kedusha shvius like it would do for, let's say, being paid a hegdash. You're taking off the kedusha. There's no such thing. You can't take off the kedusha of shvius on the original pri. But what you can do is, if you had something that you had used to buy that original pri, right? So you gave him money. So the din over there is that the money also becomes kadosh. So that's the secondary kedusha of shvius. That secondary kedusha can actually be bechulal on a tertiary. And that goes on forever. Now, when you go from a secondary to a tertiary or any step past that, then the level of kedusha that was on the original money that you gave to the Amoraites is transferred to the Paris that you were mechallel on in your home. And then that guy who made the mistake and does this chilul comes to his house, Ubba, and he eats those fruits as if they were primarily kadosh b'kedusha shvius. And therefore, he takes off the problem to the Amoraites. So there's a big question over here. And that is, does it help to do a pidyon or a chilul for something that is not in your hands? You already gave the money over to the Amoraites. Now you wake up the next morning and you realize you did something wrong. So now you're going to do a chilul. It's in his house. So this is a machlokas, whether chilul helps on something that is not biyotcha. So Tosfos says that the meaning of this Gemara is that according to the Man D'Omar, who says it doesn't help, it's talking about over here that you have to do this anyway, because it's like a knas for the chaver who inappropriately gave money to the Amoraites. Even though it's not going to save the problem, you do it anyway. According to that Man D'Omar, if you hold that you can be mechalal things that are not in your hands, so then fine, then it's perfectly understandable. But there are others who learn a couple different approaches. Others learn that in this case, it's zeichen le'yonam shelo b'fana, and that you're allowed to do it from him because the das is that he would want it done in order to, what do I care? It's all the money, it's money, and I don't get involved in Isuri. So it's purely good for me. I can't lose anything. Bishlam, on other issues, you could say, maybe I won't eat it, the kedusha, I want to give it to her, whatever it is. But in this case, it's kulei zeichen le'yonam. Others learn that in this case, the Chachomim made a takana, the hefker bested hefker, and that therefore they want you to be able to be mechal. I find that very far-fetched. But anyway, those are the different approaches that I'm aware of. So what is the entire sugya speaking about? Bamed var mamur. When are you allowed to give this Ama Aretz money for three meals? Only where you have no reason to believe that this Amoraites is a phony and is actually doing business, and he's pretending, oh, I happen to have, you know, the Arba Minim that I picked up in a field I was walking by. Would you like to buy? So he's pretending that he just has, you know, one set to sell or two sets to sell, that he didn't do anything wrong. So there, over there, you're talking about that you can assume he was lokeach min ha-mufkar. But if it was lokeach min ha-mishumar, if the guy is selling from a field that is locked up, over there, you wouldn't be allowed to give him anything. Now, Rashi learns you would not be able to give him anything because now you see, Beferish, this guy's not chosher al hashvius. He is 100% a violator. It's not that we think he doesn't know the dinim. He knows he has to be mafkir his field. He's not being mafkir the field. He's obviously a phony. So he's pretending to be selling an esrog that was okay. In reality, he's in the business. He's got a barn in the back that is full to the brims with esrogim and love him and everything. And anybody that comes by, he says, oh, I happen to have found an esrog and so on. So therefore, a person who is engaged in the actual iser of selling pairs of shvias, lischora, the transaction itself is usr. So there you're not allowed to give him any amount of money. because it's usher to buy it. That's how Rashi learns, and that's how all of the Rishonim who learn like that, that it doesn't become actually usher in doing so. So that's how they learn the Gemara. That over here, we're assuming the guy's a phony, and he's really, the transaction becomes an isser itself. However, the Rabbeinu Tam, and here's where Tosfos, this is the big Tosfos on the side, that explains the Das of Rabbeinu Tam, and the Das of the Rabbeinu Tam is also the Das of the Raived, and is also the Das of the Baal HaMor. They learn that the very fact that it was Mishumar, ipso facto, asers the fruit. And you're not allowed, this is, of course, very Negel HaLacha and Shemitah. So if somebody was not Shemer Shvias and it wasn't Mafkir his peres, then those peres become prohibited to eat. In which case there would be an Isser even on peres Shvias, that you'd always have to worry that maybe these peres are Mishumarim. Not just on the Isser of Sfichim. This is a whole new can of worms. So according to them, the point over here is that if it was Binama Shumar, it's totally Isser. The Isser itself is Isser. Fine. So very different approaches to the Gemara. It's a wonderful introduction to a lot of the issues that we're going to be learning about in Mitzvah Shvi'is as we go along. It's great that the two sages come together. Masiv Rav Sheshes, you're telling me that the case in the Mishnah that says, or the Braita that said you're only allowed to give him the mazon of Shalosh Se'udot, that's talking about where we know that there was no problem, it was Mina Mufkar, and you're still limited to giving him the amount of money, and there's this new gezerah that ein meisrim mos shvius biyodah shel ha'aretz. Is that true? That mina mufkar shalosh se'udot v'tulot. What are you going to do with the Mishnah in Masechet Shvius? The Mishnah in Masechet Shvius utilizes the list of minim, unfortunately, which I don't know what most of them are. I know how they're translated, but I don't know what those minim are. So every time I look up the translations, but it doesn't help me because I forget immediately the next time because I don't know what these fruit, what these vegetables or spices are. But anyways, the Mishnah over there in Shvi'is says that if you have pegam and yar buzin, I mean, I'll tell you what the dictionary says, but I don't know what they are, ru and suro, and the shittim, Rashi says, is asparagus of some kind. V'chalag lugot, again, that's one of my favorite. I love the sound of chalag lugot, but I have no idea what purslane actually is. So it's just how they translate it. Or hakuzbar, that they call coriander. Shebaharim, if it grows on mountains, or the karpas, which grows in rivers or alongside rivers. Karpas always translates watercress. And gargir, that I remember is rocket, and that I do, that I have seen. Okay, so gargir, that is grown in an afar, so it's, that grows out in the open bogs and meadows. All of those things are pturim min ha-maaser. Why are they pturim min ha-maaser? Because these particular minim, because of the fact that they're not standard garden products. They grow in the harim, they grow by the naros, they grow in the afar, whatever. So those are usually things that people just pick and they're bufkar and there's no problem. Anybody is going to be able to take them. And therefore, there's no din of shumas and maisus on them, which we learn not from a pasuk, that only those things which are shamur are chayiv in maisur. Now, that doesn't mean that they don't have Shemitah, because if Lamaisa, they grow during Shemitah, so then they have the Kedusha of Shemitah. But they're not considered to be Osir because of Mishumar, because people are not Shomer them, right? So then that should mean that whatever the din is about how much money you're allowed to give an Amaretz, if you're going to limit it to Shalosh Seudot, then the same thing should be true if you buy any of those things, the pegam, the arzavim, the gargir, and so on and so forth. It should be exactly the same if you buy that during Shemitah from anyone. It should be limited to Shalosh Seudot, unless you know that the person is a chomer and knows the dinim of Shemitah. And it says over here that not only are they peturim in Amaser, but you can buy them from anybody, meaning even from an Amaretz during Shemitah. Why? You don't have to worry about the fact that people watched this in the field and they weren't mafter them. Okay, so Doesn't say how much. It says you can buy. Doesn't that mean you can buy as much as you want, or you can pay him as much money, no matter how expensive it is? So how do you explain that? If there is no limit, then how does the Braita say it's limited to Shalosh Seudos? Rav Sheshes himself said, okay, he was the one who asked the question, Umotiv Lav Umafarekla. Now, look, it could be the mission is taking for granted, because we've been Koveya elsewhere, that there's a din of Bichdei Man. Bichdei Man means the amount that you need for your Seudos. I think that it's a remiss to the man itself, because the man itself was the marker of the Shalosh Seudos on Shabbos. It was the different ways that we learn out Yom. So therefore, it's saying B'davka B'chdei Man, it should be enough for the Shalosh Seudos of Shabbos. But man is a Lashon HaMazon, as we'll see in a moment. So that's what it was talking about, the amount that you need for the dinim of Shalosh Seudos, right? That would be a beautiful way of expressing the din of Shalosh Seudos, because we're talking about what you would need to make up for the chiyuv of the man. Okay, so that's what Avchein Omer Rabba Bar Bachanan Rabbi Yochanan. He also was sensitive to using that word man. Bechdei man shanu. It's talking about over here, enough for your Shalosh Seudos on Shabbos. My mashma the high man lishad the mezonehu. And where do we see that you can use the man, use the word man, to mean as much as you're going to need to eat? Because it says, but Nebuchadnezzar, when he imported these intelligent kids from Eretz Yisrael, he was going to train them and so on. So it says, Vayiman lehem ha-melech, that the Nebuchadnezzar melech was Vayiman. He gave them their chok every day and he paid for their food. And that's what it was referring to. So clearly, it's what you need in order to eat. Oh, okay. But if that's the case, then how come you're allowed to pay for the lulav? I don't understand. You're telling me, make sure he gives you the etrog as a gift. And that, you said, that means you can pay as much as you want for the lulav. In other words, the lulav, you're saying, does not have kedusha shviyas. Why would the lulav not have kedusha shviyas? Why would the hadasim not have kedusha shviyas? Later on, we're going to see that wherever something is consumed, the word la'ochla does not mean to eat. The word la'ochla, like achilat ha-mizbeach, means consumption. The consumption is a much broader term than eating. Now, one way to consume things is by eating them. Another way to consume things is by burning them. There's a difference, however, and that what we understand is that something which provides what it is that you need as it is being consumed, that is the equivalent of the la'ochla. And not something that is first consumed, like fire, where you first need to turn it into charcoal, and then you have it in its long-term heating and so on and so forth. That's not included in the la'ochla. But a lulav, since a lulav is used as a broom, as we've seen, and as you sweep, you consume the lulav, so then the lulav should have kedusha. The same thing is true of things that are made for tsevars, things that are made for reyach. We learned that they're all included. The adasim are used for reyach. So why isn't it usher just as usher for the lulav and the adasim as it is for the etrog? I'm very confused. By the way, just halacha lemaisa. It's so wonderful to see the way the halacha develops. Since all of these things are defined by local usage, obviously, right? Because the idea, there's not some kind of magic of what things are for, like the minim that we just listed. People are not shomer them. So if people are not shomer them, then you don't have the chayiv. If people would be shomer them, then you would have the chayiv. In other words, whatever is the way in which something is used as a food, so then it's a food. If in that place people don't eat that food, then it's not a food. Tainas Rav Shlomo Zalman, nowadays the lulav has no din of Kedusha Shviyas, and nowadays the Hadassim have no problem of Kedusha Shviyas. Therefore, this whole Gemara is moot, because today people don't use the lulav, and there's brooms. So where are they? Where they're just sticks. So then there would be no Isra on them at all. Hadassim, I mean, once in a while someone will smell Hadassim. It certainly don't raise Hadassim for smell. So because of that, this whole Gemara doesn't apply today. But in any event, so the Gemara is taking for granted that the lulav is shayach through dinim of shviyas, right? So then why am I not allowed to pay for the etrog, but I am allowed to pay for the lulav? That doesn't make any sense. So the Gemara makes perfectly good sense. When you walk in after Yom Kippur to buy your Arba Minim. Tell me something. When do you think those Arba Minim grew? Now, obviously, they didn't grow since Rosh Hashanah. You didn't get this Esrog over Rosh Hashanah. You didn't get this wool of growing just in the past 10 days, right? I mean, it's been growing for months and months. This was growing in the sixth year. Now it's the seventh year, and now you're buying it. So the lulav is referring to, obviously, a lulav that grew during the sixth year, and now you're buying it in the seventh year. There's no din of Kedusha Shviyas on something that grew in the sixth year. What? So then, Yochi Etrog Nami, Bar Chichita, Nichneset L'Shviyiti. I don't understand. And when did the Esther grow? The Esther grew even earlier than that. So then why do we have a problem on the Kedusha Shviyas on the Esrog? Ah, because Etrog goes according to the time that it's picked, and not according to the time that it's grown. It has the same thing as a vegetable, in which the definition of what year product it is based on the time of picking. And therefore, when it comes to the Esrog, it has Kedusha Shviyas. It was picked after Rosh Hashanah. Masha'en Kein, the lulav does not, because it has the din of a tree, and that goes according to when it started to form the fruit. Over here, if we're looking at the lulav as its fruit, vis-a-vis the din of Shviyas, so that was long ago. That was during the sixth year. What? Who says this? As far as I know, there's a machlokes between Rav Gamliel and Rav Eliezer about what determines the dinim of the year in which an etrog grew to define which meiser you would take from it. So remember that the first and second years of the seven-year cycle and the fourth and the fifth years of the seven-year cycle, the meiser that you take off meiser rishon and you take off meiser sheni. But in the third year and the sixth year of the meiser cycle, and take off Meiser Rishon, but you don't take off Meiser Sheni, you take off Meiser Ani. So what exactly defines the year of growth of the Chiyav on an Etrog is a machlokas between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer. But both of them agree that that's only a machlokas in terms of Maaser. But when it comes to the Inyan Shvi'it, everybody is Maida over there that an Etrog is a fruit. And therefore, it goes according to the Chanata, when the fruit is already budding and it's starting to come off the tree. Now you see the fruit forming because it says Beferish in the Mishnah. I don't understand where you're getting this thing in the Mishnah. It's a Mishnah Bikurim. It says Etrog Shaveli Ilan B'Shlosha Drachim U'Leyerek B'Derech Echad. So an Esrog has dinim of a tree, of a fruit from a tree, in three different halachas. And it has a din of a veggie in one halacha. Shavali ilan bishlosh adrachim. When it comes to orla, an esrog is osur in orla for its first 3 years. When it comes to netar avoy, that you have to take it up to Yerushalayim and to eat it in the fourth year, it has a din of a fruit, legabe that. And legabe shmita, v'lishviyas, it also has a din of a tree. And therefore, it goes according to the emergence of the fruit and to the dinim that are chal on the fruit, and it has all of the kedusha shviyas. But in one way, it's similar to a veggie. Now, is that the yerek b'derech echad, that the meiser, not the shviyas, it said the shviyas, it's an ilan, but that the meiser goes according to the time of its picking. And the reason for that is because lemeiser, the whole idea of there being a din of meiser from bichlal, from fruits and vegetables, besides the dinim of whether it's maybe only the chameshes minim or the shivas minim or the minim and olives because of shemen and the grapes because of yayin, fine. But that is all a derabbanan. So they were koveya, all of the dinim of meiser, based on what the d'oraisa is. So therefore, since those things which grow, and they grow naturally, they're not irrigated, so normally grain and vines, they're not irrigated. So b'meila, those things that are similar to that are similar to the dinim of the grain and the dinim of the growth, the grapes, and there it goes according to when they grew. But other things which are grown in gardens and which are irrigated, so those things go from when it is that you were malakit them. And since an esrog is very strange, in that it has to grow, as we saw earlier, I'll call Mayim, and that was one of the Ramazim of pre-Eitz Hadar, but that was Hydros, the idea that requires Kol Mayim, and it doesn't grow just from the rainwater. So therefore, we gave it a din. When it came to Maaser, we gave it the din of a vegetable. Whereas, according to Rabbi Eliezer, this is Rabbi Gamliel's sheet, according to Rabbi Eliezer, an Esrog is a fruit for everything, even Benogea Maaser, but certainly Benogea Shemitah, everybody holds that the Esrog goes from the previous year. So what are you telling me? That you're not, if the lulav is okay to buy, then the esrog is okay to buy. And if the etrog is not okay to buy, then the lulav is not okay to buy. So what are we talking about? Being Bavliya, the price of the esrog and the lulav, they have exactly the same din as anything else. Answers the Gemara, you're absolutely right. That Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah and Bikurim both agree that the statement would make no sense. However, our Tana in this Mishnah argues on both of them. He argues on Rabbi Gamliel and he argues on Rabbi Eliezer. And he is going according to this Tana, the Tanya Omer of Yossi, of Tulmo Seid Mishum Chamisha Zekenim. Etrog goes after Lakita Lamaser, which is fine. That would be dependent on the Machlokas. But Rabotenu Nimnu Be'usha, the Rabbonan, got together when the Beis Din HaGadol had come to Usha and they were koveya, the halacha, that bein lemaaser, bein lishvias, and that actually an esrog is considered to be a veggie when it comes to Shemitah as well. Shvias. Who's talking about shvias? Understand? Mandach HaShmei, you started talking about what the din is for Maaser. Now, who talked about shvias all of a sudden? Says the Gemara, that braita is missing a few words. It should have said etrog achar lekita for maaser, but achar chanata lishvias. That was Avtumas's edus, and then the Rabotenu nimnu beusha afterwards. So Avtumas was basically going like Rabbi Gamliel, and therefore when they made the takana in Usha that etrog botzer lekita bein lemaaser bein lishvias, that is the shita of the Tana of our Mishnah, and therefore it turns out that the esrog will have kedusha shvias and the lulav will not have kedusha shvias if it was a lulav that grew in the previous year and you're buying this esrog that was just picked now after Rosh Hashanah of Shemitah. So these are all of the problems that we have halach lamaisa, of course, when we go this year to buy a lulav and esrog, unless these esrogim, of course, many of the esrogim, if not all nowadays, are bought before and have a heksher that they were picked before, unless you're going yourself to pick the esrog.